In your Bibles to the book of 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles. There in your Old Testament, you find 1 and 2 Samuel, and then you have 1 and 2 Kings, and then you have 1 and 2 Chronicles. And we're going to be 1 Chronicles 29. 1 Chronicles 29. Is where we will be tonight. How's everybody doing tonight? Amen. I hope so. Hope you're encouraged in the Lord, and I hope you've come just to worship the Lord and hear from His Word and be strengthened in the faith. I tell you, it's been a busy week for many of us. It's been a difficult week for many of us, and we are going to have some things to pray about for sure tonight, and we are trusting God. We really are, folks, and committing our hearts to Him and our needs and our loved ones. We're seeking to do that. And I want to praise God for His faithfulness. Amen. You know, I think about we were talking about the way things change so quickly, and we were talking about God's faithfulness last week, and we were talking about how the weather changes so quickly. And boy, isn't that true in Georgia? I tell you what, it is something else. And it's supposed to be warming up again, I'm pretty sure, in the 60s. But I tell you, for Georgia, a high of 34, I mean, that was pretty cold for us, wasn't it? I mean, but then I didn't feel so bad when I found out my brother-in-law, who pastors in Jefferson, Texas, they in Texas have gotten hit really hard. They had where they get about the same amount of snow as we usually do. That's about their average, you know, half inch to an inch. Well, they got 12 inches the other day, and just got hit hard. And they had like 5 below, and that's just, boy, that's tough. For folks that aren't used to it. Now, you get up there in Minnesota, and they're like, what are you talking about? That feels great, you know. Let's go for a jog. But anyway, that's not us, all right, okay? We panic, all right? And so, are we going to survive this? But anyway, it's amazing how the weather changes. But I like Georgia weather. I really do. And thank the Lord for it. Well, if you found your place there, 1 Chronicles chapter 29, we are continuing our study tonight, taking time to quiet your noisy soul, and we're at part two of the study, which is on the way back, if you will, from the point of despair that results, that starts from unbelief, discontent, and then we have the fear and anxiety and the anger aspect that brings us to the bottom. So we're working our way back up by thinking upon God. Let's say our statement together. Again, this was written by Brother Jim Berg, a great teacher of the Bible. He wrote this study series, and so we're following his outline, and it has been so helpful to our church. I know it's been a great help to me personally. But the statement is, God Himself is more than enough for me. Let's say that together. God Himself is more than enough for me. Let's look tonight. Last week we looked at God as beholding the God of faithfulness. The week before that we talked about beholding the God of love and beholding the God of mercy. And so we're looking at His attributes. And tonight we're going to be looking at session 10, beholding the God of power. Beholding the God of power. And notice in your Bible where it's in 1 Chronicles 29 verses 11 through 13. This is one of my favorite verses in the Word of God. I mean, I love all of God's Word, but this is one that just is a real encouragement to me. It says here, "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is Thine. Thine is the kingdom. O Lord, Thou art exalted as head above all." In verses 12 and 13, "Both riches and honor come of Thee, and Thou reignest over all. And in Thy hand is power and might. And in Thy hand it is to make great, It is to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank Thee and praise Thy glorious name. And all God's people said, Amen. Beholding the God of power is our subject tonight. How powerful is God indeed? Well, that's a mystery, because we will never figure out how powerful God is. We know He is all powerful, but that extends even our finite minds. We know there is no limit to God's power. And He has that. Many people have wondered through the centuries and the generations, is God truly powerful? In fact, Jim Berg gave the illustration of a rabbi by the name of Rabbi Kushner. In 1981, he wrote a book, maybe you've heard about it, When Bad Things Happen to Good People. Well, he was in a dilemma. He was straight betwixt two, and he was battling back and forth, going through some difficult times in his life. And this is what he concluded. Coming to either side of this, he was trying to work through it. And he said, God was good, but not powerful enough to keep tragedy from happening, was his first thought. And his second one was, God was powerful enough to do it, but not good enough to intervene. Which he decided it was the very fact that God is good, is what his conclusion was, that He was good, but not powerful enough to keep evil from happening. Of course, that was a false conclusion, because one thing he did not factor in is that not only is God good and God merciful, but God is all-powerful. And He is working out His plan through His power. And we're going to look at that. Another quote that was given in, maybe we can look at it, Ben. You have it there, if it shows. This one was by Stephen Charnock, and he said this about the truth about God's power. He said, the power of God is that ability and strength whereby He can bring to pass whatsoever He pleases, whatsoever His infinite wisdom may direct, and whatsoever the infinite purity of His will may resolve. He goes on to say, as holiness is the beauty of all God's attributes, now get this, so power is that which gives life and action to all the perfections of the divine nature. How vain would be the eternal counsels if power did not step in to execute them. Without power, His mercy would be but feeble pity, His promises empty sound, His threatenings a mere scarecrow. God's power is like Himself, infinite, eternal, incomprehensible. It can neither be checked, restrained, nor frustrated by the creature. And all God's people said, Amen. This is truth. This is God's Word speaking very clearly. What a blessing to know that our God is all-powerful. And in His divine wisdom and in His divine love, whatsoever He wills, He is able. Our first point tonight, I want to look and see that God has all power, there in your outline, that God has all power means that He possesses absolute might. You see, the Lord has declared it in His Word, and we see that this term that is used often in reference to His all His power is omnipotence. He is the all-powerful one. As Jim Berg would define it here, God is able to do whatever He wills in the way He wills it. And one of the words that we see in the Bible that refers to God's power is dunamis. That means the power or ability, physical or moral, as residing in a person or thing. And number two, it means that basically it boils down that He is able. And folks, the quicker that this truth sinks down and finds deep roots into our hearts, the quicker we will be stable in our Christian lives. And it will truly expel that noise from our lives. That noise that clouds our thinking, back from our foundational verse, remember? Search me and know my thoughts, those noisy thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way. And as we think about these attributes, and tonight, God's power, it will move out the noise of worry and anxiety. It will move out the noise of doubt. And thank God, because we know it is true. God is able. I want you to think right now, brethren, right at this very moment. Think of one of the hardest things that you are burned about in your life, that you are just wondering if there's ever going to be a way to overcome it. If there's ever going to be a way to have a breakthrough, maybe it's in your own life. Maybe it's in a loved one. I don't know what it is. But I want to tell you, we have to realize that God is able. And you know what God wants us to do? He wants us to walk through life believing that. Not doubting that, but simply believing that. Think of some verses that are listed there in your outline. They're not written out, but we got them on the screen. Notice just a couple of them. Won't list all of them because of time. You can go look at the other ones later. But 2 Corinthians 9:8, notice what the Bible says. It says, and God is what? He's able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And my friends, that is God's power. It's not Brinson Jennings's power. The more I live the Christian life, the more I'm realizing that Brinson Jennings has got to get out of the way. And I've got to yield myself as just a vessel, as a channel, as a clay pot, if you will. And just let God live His life through me, because that's when the Christian life is possible. Notice also in Romans chapter 4, verses 20 and 21. It says here, referring to Abraham, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And verse 21, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. My friends, tonight we must get our heart and eyes and mind stayed upon the fact that God is able. We see that that will bring great stability, because when you couple that even with all his other attributes, it just builds with richness, if you will. Because you think about the very fact that, like the rabbi who had a distorted thinking, a thought pattern there, he was thinking, all right, God is good, but he's not quite powerful enough to keep bad things from happening. But what we believe is, yes, God is faithful, as we studied. God is mercy. God is love. And he is all powerful. And he's able to work all these things together exactly in his perfect will. We'll see that in more detail. But then notice with me, also, we see his power in his creation. Just look around us, and those of you that especially like the outdoors, but just the human body itself, and there's so many proofs and evidence that point to our Creator. Let the heavens declare the glory of God. As we are themed this year, Stand in Awe. And we talked about Westerland 2, which is, trillions and trillions, hundreds of trillions of miles away. But God just lets us get a little glimpse of it, and it speaks of his power. Notice in Isaiah 40, verse 12, you can look it up on the screen. It says, who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance. In other words, our God is so great that even the creation that we were been talking about, the trillions and trillions of miles that expand across the universe and our little globe and, of course, our bodies and different things, that when God put it all together, it's just the span of His hands, if you can look at that figuratively. Just like trillions and trillions and trillions and so on. God's hands are, okay, He just put it in place. There you go. Our God is awesome. And we stand in awe tonight of His power. And we worship Him. And one of the ways that we worship Him, church, is that we trust Him. We rest upon Him tonight. We trust His power. And along with His power, we're not just thinking of His power as, boy, I hope God uses it in a good way. Listen, aren't you glad God never has a bad day? You know? And, you know, it's just, I'm thankful that He doesn't wake up grumpy. You know? God is faithful and He's all powerful, and His power will always be used in a just and perfect manner. Even when I don't understand it, it is being used in a perfect way. You know, I heard once before that, you know, people want to look at God as just this heavy-fisted, angry individual just ready to seek wrath on the first mess up. Listen, if that's God, Brinson Jennings would have been out of here a long time ago. He's had plenty of opportunities to take me out and to take you out. I want to tell you, that's not our God. Our God is long-suffering. He's merciful. He's working with us. He's all-powerful. If you're glad about that, say amen. Praise God. We see also, moving right along here, His power and His preservation. Not only has He created the universe, but He preserves, He holds it together. You know that familiar verse in Colossians 1:16-17. For by Him, that's Jesus Christ, were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And don't miss verse 17. It says, and He is before all things. He is the eternal one. And by Him, all things consist. What a glorious truth that God is currently and presently holding everything together. That's why this world is not called the chaos. It's called the cosmos. It's not chaos. It's orderly. And it's because God Almighty is holding it together. I don't care what the secular scientists say. They can say all they want to about, well, everything is just simply an accident. The way the earth is positioned, the way the sun and the moon, the way it rotates and the way everything works together is just an accident. No, my friends, it is being perfectly handled by the hands of Almighty God. Hallelujah. Praise God. I love that truth. My God is all powerful. And when I look at His creation, it glorifies Him. I think of God and His preservation as He holds all things together. Like what this one brother said, I couldn't have said it this eloquently, but this is what he quoted. He says, Christ is the originator and upholder of the universe. In Him it consists or holds together from hour to hour. The steady will of Christ constitutes the law of the universe and makes it orderly and keeps it together, just as His will brought it into being in the beginning. That indeed is so true. But we also see His power in government. And that's number 5 in your outline. We know that God has control over the government. We know in Romans chapter 13, verses 1. And 2, it says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. He is the ultimate power. And it says the powers that be are ordained of God. So when the Lord puts people in place, we know that they are working for His glory. No matter whether it's good or evil, they all are working together ultimately for God's glory. It goes on to say in verse 2, "Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation." And I believe what the Lord is teaching us there is that no matter what happens in our world, in our country, in our city, in our town, we know our rights. We know what we are capable of doing, that God has blessed us with, especially in the context of America. But one thing we will always do, brethren, is we will always trust that God is in control. He hadn't lost the helm. Thank God for that. As we're going to say earlier, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I'll wait. So we see here that God has all power and means that He possesses for absolute might. And then secondly, notice the second point. That God has all power means that He possesses absolute right. So not only does He have all absolute might, He possesses the absolute right to do what He wills. In the New Testament, the word exousia denotes freedom of action, the right to act, to make His decisions. That's where we get our English word executive. It's the authority to make decisions, and that is unrestricted. So God Almighty, brethren, is making the ultimate decisions. Now God, in His all power and sovereignty, He has allowed the free will of human agency to be factored into those decisions. And that's simply miraculous in itself. And I can't even imagine. Can you imagine the mess we would have made with this world already? You know? Because none of us would be here right now. We would all take each other out, because no matter what side you're on or wherever you're at and what country, there's always hatred between groups, not just in America, but any place you go on the face of this earth, because it's in that sin nature to hate. And if one group was in control, they would wipe out the group they hate. And we've seen that attempted in the past. But thank God the Lord did override in those situations and gave grace and mercy. But I notice here some of these points under this absolute right is notice number two, God's control is absolute. Now, I want you to get a hold of this. We really need to let this grip us, folks. I'm not sure. Is there a quote under point two that you have? Okay. I'm going to give it to you here. Do we have it? Yep, there it is. If there is a single event in all the universe that can occur outside of God's sovereign control, then we cannot trust Him. You want to read? You want me to go ahead? I can't even talk. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, there you go, Ben. Let's say it again. If there's a single event in all the universe that can occur outside of God's sovereign control, then we cannot trust Him. God is saying that God is in complete control. And we can't trust God if He's out of control. Okay, so if we think in our minds that God has lost control at times, or if He's not fully in control, then the logical conclusion, which is true, we can't fully trust Him. But my friends, the opposite is true. He is in full control. We can trust Him tonight and be thankful for it and rejoice in it. What a wonderful truth. God is control is absolute. Then thirdly, God's control is not always apparent. Now, this is where it gets really shaky for us, for me at least. I want to speak for Brinson Jennings tonight, because there are times in my life where I'm looking around and I'm thinking, God, I really don't see You working here. But even in those times, in fact, I would say, especially in those times, we have to realize that God is in control. His control is not always apparent. Here's another quote that you have there, I believe, in your outline on this one. But it says here, He permits, for reasons known only to Himself, people to act contrary to and in defiance of His revealed will. He never permits them to act contrary to His sovereign will. So in other words, there are going to be people that go against God's revealed will. Where do we find God's revealed will? In the Word of God. Do people disobey this revealed will daily? Yeah, I'm one of them. With God's help, I try not to. But there are times I violate the Word of God, and of course we see evil prevailing around us in certain contexts, and so that's where we think, okay, what's happening here? Just because we don't see it, doesn't mean that God's not completely and perfectly in control, because here's what's happening. There are some people, and again, there's that human agency that God factors into His sovereign plan. He allows us to have a choice. But this is what He does. Even when we go against Him, His ultimate plan is working together. So we got these little isolated incidents where it looks like, man, they're defying God right in His face. They're like, following You, God, don't do what we want to do. There's no God. And it's like, boy, the world's just going south quick. And it's like, oh, Lord, well, listen, we know the doctrine of God being all-powerful, it's His sovereign will is still right on track. Because remember, God is timeless. He's without time. He's apart from time. So it's all before Him. But for us, it's not. For us, we're following through. And that's why I tell people often, look, you don't have to make this confusing. We have a decision to obey. Well, how am I going to know if I'm going to be one of the ones that obeys and does the will of God? Obey and do the will of God. You know how you can be the one? Do it. Amen. That's where we're at, Lord. I mean, do people wonder, am I going to rebel, or am I going to stay with God all my life? Well, listen, just determine right now that's what I'm going to do. And God's going to use you in His sovereign will, your testimony for righteousness. And thank God, as we talked about, we also are beholding the God of mercy. So when we do step out of line, we have a loving Heavenly Father that brings us back with loving correction. I'm thankful for that. But we know that God is not persuaded by man in the sense of His sovereign will. We know that we cannot override God's will of this world functioning the way He has planned it to. And I tell you right now, I know one thing's for sure, which is pretty awesome. When you factor in that free will that the Lord gives us the ability, you know, God has chosen to use our prayers. You know, that's why we have prayer meetings. That's why we'll be praying tonight. Why? Why pray if God already sees the big picture? Because He's using those prayers to fulfill His will. The ones that will be uttered tonight, they're going to move the hand of God. Because He's given us that opportunity. He's saying, children, I am giving you an opportunity to be a part of My sovereign plan. And I'm going to use your life, as messed up as it is, I'm going to use your life, as weak as you are, I'm going to use your life. I'm going to use your prayers. I'm going to use your church. I'm going to use Crooked Creek Baptist Church. As they yield themselves to Me, I'm going to place them right in as they willingly give of themselves to God and say, God, use us to fulfill Your sovereign plan. That's pretty awesome. I'm very thankful tonight for that truth. You know, there may be a piece of the puzzle that you are looking at tonight. You know, I read recently that over in Vietnam, it's is at least documented largest jigsaw puzzle put together. Not too long ago, in fact, was at the University of Economics in Ho Chi Minh. I have no idea if I said that right. Was that? Somebody know it better than me? The jigsaw puzzle with the most pieces. You know how many jigsaw pieces it had? 550,000. Yeah, so they had 1,600 students converge upon this university. And this was on September 24th, 2011. And they came together, and it took the students 17 hours to first break up the 3,132 sections that they were going to be putting together. But nevertheless, these over 550,000 pieces, you could just take it, one of them, and of course anybody who was being honest would just pick up one of those random pieces and hold it up and would say, I have no idea where this is going. And you know, there may be something in your life right now, brethren, that you're holding up and you're looking at it. I just don't know how God is going to use and how this piece is going to fit. But I want to tell you, my friend, the all-powerful God knows exactly where it goes. And it's going to be a beautiful life as we yield ourselves to Him and do what we know to do. It's going to fit perfectly in His sovereign plan. We got to trust Him. Our God is all powerful, and He's worthy to be trusted.